Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
The Three and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Great odds and markets for baseball, the NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. America's number one sportsbook. Very easy to use. Safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. I cannot recommend it enough. Love gambling with FanDuel. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Colin so they know we sent you. What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff back at it again. Here's the deal. Here's the plan. This is going to be a little Golo Pod. At Golo Pod is the Instagram. You guys know the deal. Fire in those DMs. I have on Dave from the Tour Junkies. They're a gambling podcast, Dave and Pat. I've been listening to them for a long time. They go deep into the wager game every single week. Go check them out for golf betting. And I'm a huge golf bettor. May or may not have just made, you know, three G's on JT Poston. Thank you. Big win for me and JT. And we are going to come back on Friday with a football podcast, sports podcast in general. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. USC, UCLA, not quite NFL. There'll probably be some NFL news trickling out in the next couple days. So we'll talk a little football. And talk to Greg McElroy. That'll come out next week. Have a couple other guests for the following weeks. And St. Andrews, the Open Championship. The Open. That was a terrible accent. It wasn't an accent. We'll do something on that next week with Sobel. Already have several major. I have a huge wager on Rory McIlroy. A massive wager on Justin Thomas. I love to gamble. God, I love to gamble. And we'll just keep rocking and rolling from there. So this is the Golf Podcast. You want to get in those DMs. At Golo Pod. And we'll answer. I'll do the questions next week for the Open Podcast. At John Middlecoff is my Instagram. Been a little out of pocket. You know, sometimes it's nice to just remove yourself from social media. There's like the real world going on. Very, very healthy and refreshing to do. So slide up into those if you have any football or life questions. And we'll keep rocking and rolling. Here is my interview. You can find it on the Tour Junkies pod as well. I'm going to put it out on this feed. Hope you enjoy.
I love his takes. He's a takesmith. Follow each other on Twitter. Had to have him on the show. Want to talk about live golf. Want to talk a little golf gambling. First of all, John, thanks for meeting up and agreeing to do this, buddy.
Yeah, what's going on? I've been listening to you guys. I'm a golf gambling addict, and nice. I've been listening to you two for a while now. Especially the long shots. I love listening to that part of this week. I mean, we're recording this as John Deere is going on. Like, listen, boring field.
Yeah.
But when you gamble, it makes you pay attention, you know?
100%, man. And we both got some cash on JT Poston, who's off to a good start, our buddy JT. I love that, man. I love that you're a golf diehard, you know, gambler like us. And, you know, we're definitely not professionals, but we've been doing it for a long time and love the long shots. Love the chase. Love the sweat of golf. And actually, you know, I think that I think that's one thing we can kind of get started here if you want to talk about it, John. We were talking about LIV before the podcast started and just thinking through like how LIV is going to fit into the gambling landscape, right? Because right now there's only a few books that have the regulations and everything set up for you to gamble on LIV Golf. It's available primarily on like BetMGM, has a lot of states available, but like, doesn't it kind of suck, though, when you think about, I mean, I hate betting on a WGC event because it's like no cut. I feel like I lose a little bit of the edge. The field's so small. Like, so, what are we going to do with that? Like, what's going to get you jazzed up? I know you love top 10 bets. Like, betting a top 10 in a 50-man field sucks, too.
I know. I was at the gym, and I got ESPN Plus. The ESPN Plus has done a great job if you like gambling on golf because you can watch so much of it on Thursdays and Fridays and even like Saturday and Sundays on the morning when you're watching specific guys. And I had it up, and like you said, I'm watching JT, and he's just fucking birdie after birdie. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm like, well, I got to check out Pumpkin Ridge, so I flip over. And whenever the first event happened, remember they had like 100,000 people watching it one time on YouTube. It was like Pat McAfee numbers and it was big. And I flip it on and I wasn't quite sure if it was live. And I've never played there, so I couldn't tell the course. It kind of looked like the course that they had just played, a couple of the holes I saw. And then I realized it was Pumpkin Ridge and they had 10 holes left. But then I'm like, what am I watching? I'm not gambling on any of these people. Scruffy Phil. It's like, what? I am not anti these guys leaving, totally understand why they all did. They all have their different reasons, all different points in their career. You can argue over individuals, but like, listen, when you hear Bryson, who no one likes him on the PGA Tour, he tries to get on the pack board. They won't let him on.
Yeah.
So he's like, you guys don't like me. I can't. I'm a YouTube addict. You won't let me YouTube, which we can say whatever we want, but that's a legitimate rule. And he's not allowed to do that. And he's obviously doing it there. So he leaves. It's a problem. I enjoy watching Bryson. I remember last year when was he playing him and Westwood going at it at the Arnold Palmer and him bombing drives. Like that was fun.
Yeah.
Bryson is, regardless what you think about him, an important cog to the PGA Tour. You know, you can't just lose, like the NFL doesn't just want to lose like Tyreek Hill or Nick Bosa. Like he's an important member and just star of their league. So I'm going to pay attention and it's clearly only starting, but from a gambling aspect, once they get that figured out, I do think that could impact, you know, someone like me who ultimately I just want to consume golf and I want to consume the best golfers. I love like you. I like playing golf and I love the watching the best guys, you know, dominate. Yeah. It's fun. I enjoy the PGA Tour, but a part of that is because they have Tiger, Phil, Rory, you know, Jordan, whoever. And now you keep stealing those guys. Obviously the names change as you age or whatever, but it's one of the bigger stories in sports because of all the elements, right? The money, the politics, all everything.
Yeah. And I hate it when people say like, cause I mean, if you followed us long enough, you probably know, I can't stand Bryson DeChambeau as a human.
I think, and most people don't,
yeah,
you know, I think he's douchey.
He's 100% something the game needs. He's interesting. I want to watch him. Other people want to watch him. And I totally respect what he did to his body and to his game. Like it's incredible. So mad props there. But I don't like it that these people don't understand on Twitter and on whatever, when they're going like, oh, all Liv's got is a bunch of washed up guys and guys that, you know, all the tools of the PGA Tour. you know, and they're dogging on Matt Wolf and they're dogging on Brooks and they're talking about how bad these guys are playing. And I'm like, y'all, we are not that far from Brooks. I mean, Brooks should have won the PGA championship last year.
He was in the final group.
He was head to head on Phil. Like, Brooks is not going to be a guy.
He won the waste management in 21.
Won the waste management. Yeah. Like it's just, these guys are not that far out of this thing. Matt Wolf is going to be a good golfer for a while. I think still, his game has definitely suffered lately. He's had some mental battles he's been struggling with. I don't know that getting a, you know, ass ton of money from the LIV Tour is going to help him all that much, but he's got a ton of talent in there. And all the villains that the PGA Tour needs and make interesting are now, over there at LIV. And so, like, for me, I guess the big picture is, like, when do we press the panic button as golf fans and golf nerds? Because right now, what I hate is that this whole thing feels so fractured and segmented and diluted that I'm worried that both products are going to be so diluted with talent that neither one of them are going to be all that exciting to watch. I completely agree.
I'm with you on the Matt Wolf slander. It's like 2.5 years ago when the trio was coming out, right? Him, Hovland, who were teammates in college, and Colin. If it was the NFL or the NBA, we would have been discussing one of those three guys is going to go number one in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been in the mix. And early on, it was like, is Wolf the best one?
Yeah.
Obviously, Morikawa's resume is the best. And you would say Hovland has been more consistent than Wolf, but Hovland's been terrible in majors.
Yeah.
Wolf was right there with Bryson at Wingfoot, and he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit on the weekend at Harding Park, but I think he finished fourth.
Yeah.
I saw someone say, I'm trying to look it up right now, but it's not coming, that his season actually this year is not as bad as the way people are talking about it. I think he was like 57th in FedEx points. He's not like he wouldn't have been like off the tour on this pace. He's just having a rough year. But relative to like most people, he's still racking up cash and he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So, and I'd argue him and Bryson and Koepka, like I do think you could stomach losing DJ, even though he's the most accomplished of kind of that crew in terms of longevity.
Yeah.
But Koepka's got four majors and the way we judge people in golf is majors. And Wolf is a stud young player who's having some rough times, but you do not want to lose him. And Bryson, villain, whatever you want, is a star. And really, I would say Spieth, Rory are probably the truly most famous with casual, non-diehard golf people.
Yeah.
I do think Bryson has entered that chat.
100%.
The last year. Like, you just met, if you just went to an SEC game and were just bullshitting with a guy that loves sports, he would know who Bryson DeChambeau was, even if he doesn't play golf. And you can't, golf is not the NFL or Major League Baseball or, you know, big enough or, you know, European soccer, where you can afford to lose, or the PGA Tour specifically. And I'm with you. I don't care what the tour is. I just want the best players all playing with each other, right? I wish this week at Pumpkin Ridge or at John Deere, we just had a crew of the majority of good players, right?
Yep. So,
which is not going to be the case. It's only going to get worse, clearly.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Like, but let me ask you this. As we look at the world golf ranking and we kind of start to play the world golf ranking game, at what point do we truly start to panic? Is it, you know, is it Tony Finau? Probably not. Is it Billy Horschel? Probably not. The number 14th ranked player in the world is Hideki Matsuyama. He's another major champion, a Masters champion. He's a worldwide draw, and he's massive.
Obviously. I got a British Open bet on him too. I think you might have mentioned it, or I was listening to someone. I was like, yeah, you know, he hit that 3-wood at the U.S. Open, you know, when he was in that little low. Yep. It's like, Hideki's got a lot of shots. If he's on, well, you know, he could dominate over there.
And the short game. I just came back from Scotland. Got to play the old course with the bleachers and leaderboards up.
How awesome was it?
So incredible. But, you know, it emphasizes a lot on the short game too. But and Hideki's got loads of that that people don't give him enough credit for.
Very flat greens, right? It's not much undulation. It's just very flat.
No. That almost shocked me the most, because like people say that about Augusta all the time, my hometown. They're like, wow, I can't believe until I get out here how much undulation's on the greens. Like, you can't tell from the TV. Same thing at the old course. Like, those greens are not flat at all.
Oh, they're not.
There is a ton of undulation. Like, a ton of undulation. Got me in a ton of trouble. Plenty. So you
could put some crazy pin positions out there.
Yeah, I think the greens are very similar. Outside of speed, they're very similar to Augusta. Lots of up and down, lots of undulation. But I mean, is Hideki in the same class in terms of if the PGA Tour lost Hideki, is that like losing a Will Zalatoris, a Jordan Spieth, a Justin Thomas, or a Rory, or a John Rahm? Is
it I would say maybe internationally for him. I think maybe I look at it more domestically. I think it's very important. Like, that's why losing Koepka and Bryson.
Yeah.
Like, once DJ went, you felt like, well, maybe he's just over it. And he kind of had this weird vibe the last couple years, even though he was still really good. You could stomach it. To me, Bryson and Koepka were just like gut punches. And I would say it would be American group. Like, what if Xander and Cantlay, that little duo, both bounced?
Yeah. Did you watch the Brooks? I'm sure you did. Did you watch the Koepka press conference the other day?
Yeah. I love the three of them sitting at the dais. The PJ Tour should do more of that.
Like, I do like
multiple guys up there kind of getting peppered at once.
Like, but I mean, my hot take on this is, like, I'm over Koepka's puff guy attitude. Like, I was in the, Pat makes fun of me, my co-host Pat Perry, for those of you that don't know Pat, one of the times that I really almost sent Pat to, barfing in a brown bag is when we got press credentials for the 2020 Players Championship, the week that the whole world shut down. I was there. We had press credentials, and
you go to the concert. Who played on Wednesday night?
Chainsmokers. Yeah. Well, I'm in the press room on Tuesday, and Brooks is up there, and I wanted to ask him a question because the week before, Adam Scott had been pictured and video, played a tournament wearing baggy pleated pants. You know, and I was like, holy shit, our pleated pants, is that what we're about to do right now? Is all that coming back? You got to be kidding me. So Brooks, being a fashionable Nike guy or whatever, I wanted to ask him if Nike threw down some scripting for you this week, some pleated pants like Adam Scott had last week, what would you do? Would you wear them? And I was just having fun, just a lighthearted question. It was a dumb question, right? And I do dog on a lot of the members of the golf media for asking really stupid questions, and here I was asking one. But he could not have been a bigger jackass than me for asking that question, right? And I could have asked him the same old shit he gets asked all the, every other tournament he goes to. But he could not have been a bigger jackass to me for that. And then, like, week in and week out, I read every press conference. I watch every press conference every week. That's part of, some of the stuff we do for handicapping.
Your gambling strategy. Yeah. It's good.
I mean, and he is just an asshole every week. And to me, it's like, you don't have to be buddy-buddy with these guys. And I know they're asking tough questions at LIV, but you got to know that's coming, right? But, like, he was just dripping with arrogance and like this tough guy thing. And it's like he acts like he doesn't care when really deep down he cares a lot. I'm now officially out. Like, that press conference for me on Brooks, I was like, I'm out on the guy, no longer a fan. Like, when the whole Brooks Bryson thing was going, I was team Brooks. Like, I was like, go Brooks, go Brooks, go Brooks, because I can't stand Bryson. Now I can't stand either one of them. But, like, to me, his whole attitude in that thing was just so shitty.
I played in like a skins game on last week, if you're listening to this, and I was we were having some beers and bullshitting, and we were just talking, like, last week at the U.S. Open, for him to pretend, and I know he's won there, like, he's a U.S. Open champion, it's like, bro, your fucking brother joined, who I was looking on Instagram, looked like he was the best man in your wedding, your brother joined.
Yeah.
So I would give you some leeway if you were like Xander or whatever. Like, I got to stop asking me these questions. I have no connection. Your brother played in the event, who, let's face it, would not have sniffed the LIV, the PGA Tour, anything, if his name was John Middlecoff.
Yeah.
So clearly, and I know you're a big college sports guy.
Yep.
What happens usually in college sports? I get like a brother to get the other brother.
Yep.
I hire a cousin on my staff to get the kid. It's like Brooks. It's a pretty fair question for you specifically when your brother was there.
Yeah.
And then a day later for him to be like, yeah, we just started talking about it. Like, the other thing is golf. I would say the golf consumer, a huge part of the sport is when you're on the course, you're either gambling with your buddy, even if it's $1, $5, $10, you're talking business. Like, money is incorporated in the sport. So, like, these guys can say, like, listen, I got a lot of money. Most of the consumer understands what's going on. So for him to keep talking like this, like, him and DJ clearly aren't as close as they once were. I would say the big difference between him and DJ is just much more just easier to deal with.
Yeah.
It might just be his personality or whatever, but, like, does it feel like DJ's always getting into these things with the media? Because he's not like as contentious. So it's like, Brooks, I don't understand why you're acting so angry about this when you just set yourself up a week ago to freak out about it. When your brother was in it previously, so everyone was like, why is he so mad right now? it's just, I'm with you. He's kind of an angry guy.
Yeah. And what we've all wanted since this whole thing came out, I think even the fans and even the media that like have really, really, you know, shit on this whole idea. We all just want these guys to be honest. Like, Pat Perez's answer in the press conference was somewhat refreshing.
You tweeted it out, right?
I mean,
it
was just he still didn't say much about the money. He didn't say much about it.
He didn't get as much as a lot of the other guys. So you don't want to just throw out, you know, gave me $10 million.
Yeah.
You sit next to guys that got 150.
Yeah, but at least he was pretty candid about it. You know, look, I'm old. I played in 500 something events. Like, my ass is tired. That's all you need. Like, if these guys would just own it, it would be so much better.
I like Pat, but my issue there is not that long ago, and listen, I'm a believer money talks, it clearly does, yep, in every walk of life, but he was one of the most outspoken guys to Colt and Sleaze, yeah, shitting on the thing on their podcast, talking crap about Phil, that's talking true. Crap about the whole thing, and then he did it, and again, he got $10 million is a lot of money to 99% of people, but like, the money he would have made, like, he kind of just sold out, like he was just over it, you know? And so he kind of pushed back a little. I mean, they're all like, I don't know what they expect, you know? Now, and I'm with you with the golf media. Like, yesterday, I'm flip on the TV and Eamon Lynch, who with Brandel are easily the two most outspoken, is doing a one-on-one with Jay.
Eamon's
so it's
blocked.
Like, Eamon, you have an agenda on this because you're in business with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're all in business with different people. If you're just authentic about it,
yeah,
I think people, especially like our generation, younger people, understand it, you know, at this point in time.
Yeah, Eamon's blocked us on Twitter for some reason. I have no idea. Like, I don't ever remember saying anything to Eamon Lynch, but he's blocked us, so I don't know.
Well, he's been tweeting, I mean, for
sure
months about it. But it's like, obviously, he doesn't want the PGA Tour to go away. That's where he makes his money.
Yeah, of course not.
Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the PGA Tour on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet the tour with no sweat first bet. If you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in free bets. Great promotions every day, safe and secure app, get paid fast. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook and sign up using the promo code COLIN to get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel Sportsbook, official betting operator of the PGA Tour, promo code COLIN.
21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bet $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat, Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana, or 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-888-9789, Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming, visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Listen, at The Volume, we're always looking for people, and hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates, and you better believe we use LinkedIn. I just played golf last weekend with a guy who runs an insurance company who said he lives on LinkedIn, and he has never found better employees than through this website. Because LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources. And let's face it, how would you even find these people? Well, they're on LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn constantly finding ways to make everything easier. They even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions,
making the process quicker. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/John. That's LinkedIn.com/JOHN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need. But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can do both. You earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool for after you've torn up your lawn. Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home, and then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I think, so let me ask you this. So
it ain't going to stop though. Like, I mean,
it's not.
When you bring up the Hidekis, the Xanders, we don't know this, the Tonys, these, they're going to get a couple of these, especially like over the next couple months.
Yeah.
Again, I was looking at the leaderboard today and it was like hard to, the names, like only three letters. And I'm like, I don't even, is that Phil? But once a couple of these guys, especially like a Koepka or a Bryson, like win, and it's like, damn, they just made 4 million.
Yeah.
You know, or even got second and get two. You do wonder if a couple fringe guys in that top 25 bounce.
Yeah,
the leaderboard, and if they bounce.
Yeah, it's dominoes. The leaderboard's like playing a little Wordle game or something sometimes.
I saw Taylor Gooch say that I read an article today that he had claimed, and again, he could be lying, that he had planned, just his schedule was open. So when he went to London, he was just going to play because there was a lot of money he thought he could make and then continue to play on the PGA Tour. But that day, once the balls flew, that he got banned. I think it's easy to say that now because I remember reading like he got a lot of money to go. But it's just, it's hard to believe any of these guys.
So I was at TPC Craig Ranch about a month and a half ago. And I was credential media there. I was standing on the driving range. One of our close friends, Charles Howell III, comes up to me, and he's an Augusta guy. My co-host Pat grew up hitting balls next to him at Augusta Country Club. And he tells me, we're talking about LIV, and he's like, dude, I've had the conversation with Greg Norman. Greg Norman's talked to me. He's shown me, and he's told me that they have a $100 million account earmarked for nothing but litigation against the PGA Tour when all this goes down. And that's just to start. And
they want to fight.
Once they go through that, if they need more, they'll use it. And Charles was like, dude, these guys are ready to throw hands. And $100 million. Like, I think I just heard, you know, Phil threw out the whole numbers about what the PGA Tour was sitting on in terms of a slush fund.
$800 million or something.
And I've heard that the actual number after COVID is now, is the realistic number is like $300 to $400 million. That's what they had after the after COVID kind of, and they blew through stuff like
you're
that.
You're saying you're just in a fund.
Just in that fund. And so you're talking, these guys have a third or a fourth just earmarked for what the PGA Tour has totally to be able to fight this thing. Like, that's one thing that I think, you know, is coming, is this, the litigation hasn't started yet, but it's going to hit and it's going to happen. And depending on what these majors decide to do, depending on what the guys down the street from me at Augusta National decide to do, it's going to make things very, very interesting for both tours. Can both tours exist? So I was going to ask you this. If you're Jay Monahan today and you've handled it the way he's handled it up to this point, what's your next move? Like, what do you think people do?
Well, one thing I saw Justin Thomas say, that he's like, the way that I'm looking at it now is ultimately once we get sued, because it's going to happen, because yep. A lot of the guys, right, are not resigning. Like Patrick Reed, I saw resigned yesterday. Yeah. He's like, I'm out, which again, I get it. Everyone hates him, but a lot of the guys are not. You know, the Gooches, yeah. Phil's, I don't even think Pat Perez, a lot of the, you work so hard, you're not going to resign.
I don't think
they're
Brooks
gonna
has
sue.
Either. I don't think Brooks has either.
No, he didn't. He said he didn't either. Yeah. So, and JT was like, well, once they sue the PGA Tour, they're basically suing me. And I was like, that's kind of fair, but there is no way that Jay Monahan, when he threw down the hammer of the indefinite suspensions, acted alone. Like, ultimately, Roger Goodell represents the owners. Greg Sankey represents the institutions. If Rory McIlroy, JT, Jordan, and obviously there's a larger group of players as well, but like, they were on board with that. No, do you agree with that? Like, he didn't go rogue when he dropped the suspension. I don't believe, without at least talking to some of his high-end players, because he represents them. He ultimately represents the tour. If he did, to me, that's insane.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and
I don't know either, but I my educated guess is he had to talk to some of them, which seems kind of crazy. Why would they want the smoke? But I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the right move, man. Like, I think the move is, I think he acted a little too quickly on the suspensions, because now you're in a hard place. You are saying, I'm okay, then I'm going to fight back and we're going to do this. But you're also saying out of the other side of your mouth, I know I'm outgunned here and I can't compete with this foreign monarchy in an arms race, right? That's what he said. So to me, I think you have to, I almost think you got a hat in hand before this thing gets too out of whack and you don't have the players on your side with all the leverage, right? Because if they take a Hideki or they take a Will or a Victor Hovland or a whoever, then it starts getting more and more difficult for you. I kind of think it has to be like, all right, listen, we appreciate what these guys that have gone over have built here on the PGA Tour, the names that they've already started to make for themselves. We feel like we can all work on this together. And we're willing to step back, reevaluate our suspensions, and work through this a little differently. I think that's the only, because if he doesn't do that, it's a really crappy situation for especially golf fans everywhere, because that's where I think the product continues to stay diluted and fragmented. But I don't think he's gonna do that.
I think why he hesitates doing, you know, trying to quote unquote broker deals or work together, is he's afraid that the money they can throw out, that ultimately doing handshake deals, they'll just steal everyone and ultimately take them over. Because let's face it, Greg Norman has a legitimate vendetta against the tour.
He does,
and wants,
yeah.
Like, to me, and listen, a lot of humans, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had a couple in my day. But if you don't have the resources to take down your enemy, it doesn't truly matter. It's just you being mad. The scary part about this guy that has this vendetta, who would love to destroy the PGA Tour, has the cash now. Yeah. And I would imagine Jay and other people in a circle and the people that fund the PGA Tour that are longstanding money people have to be a little nervous. So they throw this haymaker. But if it doesn't connect like Mike Tyson, which it kind of doesn't feel like it's going to, especially if the majors keep letting them in, which do you think Augusta? Phil Mickelson won the thing 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, DJ won. Patrick Reed is a champion. These guys won the Masters.
Yeah.
Won the Masters. You know?
To me,
if there were no Masters champion, Sergio, like, these guys, in the last, like, decade, I don't think the Masters drops a hammer.
Yeah, I don't think that's what's going to end up happening either. I think if they were, they would have already done something. I've heard rumors that they were going to drop the hammer. I've heard rumors that they weren't from people around here in Augusta. That
you think they suspended Phil or told him not to show up is why Phil didn't show up, or Phil chose?
I think what actually happened is Phil chose not to come. I think he truly chose not to come.
I think that I would probably lean that way as well.
I don't think he wanted the smoke at that point either. I think he wanted to go into, you know, everybody around him is PR people. Everybody's telling him to just disappear and vanish for a little bit.
Because once he didn't show up to the PGA Championship where he was the defending champion, obviously they would want him there.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, yeah, yeah. So let me...
Phil's in a bad place, clearly.
Phil is messed up. Do you get this? Because you're a content creator, obviously, and you talk about the PGA Tour. Do you have people on your Twitter account and your DMs saying what they're saying to us, which is... I have two things. We have people emailing us, DMing us. Hey, are you guys going to cover LIV? Are you gonna talk betting on LIV? Are you going to talk DFS on LIV now that's out? DraftKings is doing showdown content for LIV. And then we have other people who are going... I can't believe you guys are covering LIV. Like, how dare you cover LIV? And you're giving it energy. You're giving it legs. You know, that you're basically putting your stamp of approval on LIV by covering it as media. Are you getting that too? Have you gotten any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess my philosophy now, I get people that hate it and some people that don't understand. I think a lot of people in the media, when they're really anti-LIV, don't necessarily represent the consumer. I don't think the consumer really cares, but they do want to just watch whatever's easiest. And that now fracturing it does make it difficult on them. My philosophy is like, I'll just talk about whatever matters.
Yep.
And right now, LIV, and it feels like for the foreseeable future, is going to matter. It's like, I'm sorry, like once Tiger showed up to the Masters, there's not much else to talk about until someone else wins it. But like Tiger's getting 90% of the coverage.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just part of the deal. Golf's a little different probably than some of the major sports because they're so heavily weighted on the top three or four guys. Like if Jordan's playing well, Rory's playing well. But that's what LIV did. They took the second most famous golfer of basically my lifetime, Tiger and Phil, and they took just major champion stars. So it's like, if they just had Sergio, Lee Westwood, Coulter, no one would give
Nobody
a
cares.
Shit. Yeah. But the moment they get Bryson, DJ, and Koepka, and honestly, Patrick Reed for a golf audience is really interesting because people hate him. So it's like they got people that, like even Pat Perez, I was talking about this yesterday. If he would have been one of the American guys, no one really would have cared. I like the guy, but no one cares.
Yep.
But once they take, and if they continue to take Henrik Stenson, right? He's the Ryder Cup captain. The rumor, if he goes over there in the next month and just waves his, like, that is a major, major story. He just quits being the Ryder Cup captain 6 months into his captaincy. Isn't that insane if that happens?
That's absolutely insane. Have you seen Zach Johnson's quote about it, about the Ryder Cup? Basically,
no. What he say?
Actually, I think I could.
I can imagine. You see, Freddie Couples today said like he's not friends with Phil anymore. Like he'll never play golf with him again. He's like, we're not even in the same universe as human beings.
Wow, I did not see that. Let me show you. Let me pull this up on the screen. This is a quote from Zach Johnson. In order to play on the Ryder Cup team, whether you're top six or a pick, you must garner Ryder Cup points through the PGA of America, Johnson said. In order to garner Ryder Cup points through the PGA of America, you have to be a member of the PGA of America. The way that we're members of the PGA of America is through the PGA Tour. I'll let you connect the dots from there. So ZJ is basically saying, if you're not playing on the PGA Tour, you're not playing on the Ryder Cup.
Well, think about who his crew is going to be, right? Tiger will be there if he can walk. You know, I'm sure we'll be there. They've been with Tiger. It's clear who his boys are going to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to be very, which is kind of sad because this last Ryder Cup, which was a sweet ass kicking.
Yep.
Phil, it felt like was playing a pretty prominent role around all the boys. 100%, right.
Yeah.
And the other thing, though, is like they stole some sweet Ryder Cup players. Like I trust Koepka in a big match. Like I trust DJ in a big match.
Same.
You know, Bryson. I don't know if I trust him as much, but he was fun to be there.
Didn't DJ go 5-0? I bet on that at like 40-1. He won 5 points for US this year.
Well, think who became his BFF, like one of the best young players. Him and Colin are like boys.
Yep.
So it's like that pairing split. So it's just, it's this story's not only not going away, it feels like the internet in like 2002, it's like only starting.
Yeah, people that come at us like that, I'm like, look, dude, I just quit my job 100 days ago, my full-time job 100 days ago to do this Tour Junkies thing full-time. I got three kids. Like, if everyone and their mom is talking about LIV and people want to gamble on LIV and people want to bet on LIV, then I'm going to talk about it. Like, now it's my job. And as members of the media, like, that's what you're going to do. So,
and think about this. The four biggest events in golf are always going to be the majors. Like, that is not going to change. What is going to be the biggest stories in those majors moving forward when those guys either being allowed to play, those guys doing press conference, a lot of those guys are champions of those tournaments. I mean, it's just, I'm with you. I think you'd be crazy, anyone.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like you turn on, you know, the PGA Tour tournaments, they're talking about it. Like, Liv is working from a publicity standpoint.
Yeah, they sure are. Let's talk golf betting, man. I want to hear about your affection for golf betting, your strategy, what you love to do, who's your guy that you constantly lose money on. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I've had a lot. I mean, I've lost a lot of money on Tony Finau, probably Gary Woodland as well. I mean, we all have our guys. I think I've been gambling. I'm 37. I've been gambling on sports probably for close to 20 years, but only golf now. Like on the course when I was playing against someone else for maybe 2 years. And there's just nothing like the return on investment. And if you watch as much as we watch, you kind of get a little bit of an edge on certain guys. Now, you can also become emotionally too close to certain players. Yep. But I got probably the first year, only thing I bet on were winners. And because there was just, you could get really good players at like 35-1. And, yep, you know, in the NFL, if I take the Patriots over the Jets, if I bet $200, I might only win $170,
yeah,
you know, if they're the favorite. But if I, and I've hit winners before, not many, but once you do, it's hard to, like, once you hit JT 20-1 to win the Players last year, it's hard not to keep dabbling in winners. Or yep, DJ a couple years ago when he won the Fall Masters. But you also, you know, can go dry for long periods of time. So I would say I have dramatically pivoted to putting less on winners and probably bigger bets on top fives and top tens. Is something that, like, the gala last week at the Travelers, I had a pretty large bet on him to just top 10, and it hit. And it just gives you so much more wiggle room on the top tens. To me, top 20s go closer to like the NFL odds, where it's like 1-1, unless you're betting true long shots. But when you can get really good, like the gala last week was 10-1 to top 10.
Yeah.
And to me, him and Davis Riley is another guy who has cashed some. I love betting on two guys that feel like Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler of a year or two ago that are going to win. Like, it's inevitable. Honestly, both guys could win several times over the next 2 or 3 years. They don't go to Live. And you can still get them sometimes at like 40-70-1 range.
Yeah.
Right. And that means their top five or top 10 odds are 8-1 or 4-1, which you feel pretty good about placing, you know, quote unquote, larger units on than you would, because you bet even $100 on someone, you know, 20-1, that guy could miss the cut, which happens a lot, you know?
Yeah. I love that about golf gambling for sure, is the return, is the juice you get out of the squeeze betting on golf. I've bet on the NFL, I've bet on college football for quite a while. I quit doing that altogether about 5 years ago, just strictly on golf. I just love it. So, it's always fun to talk that up with you. And
I watch a lot, and I rely on guys like you that, like, I don't really study the strokes gained off the tee, you know, obviously around the green, the putting, clearly that matters. And in certain tournaments, and you guys do such a good job on, like, cause this does matter, right? West Coast guys on the West Coast swing, the guys that are comfortable in the Florida swing and that type stuff, their history, right, on Poana or Bermuda or what, like, that shit really matters. But I don't even know where to look, so I come to you, and you guys do a great job, because that's something that I've really learned in golf, like, guys to stay away from and guys that are comfortable. Obviously, Billy Horschel, when he gets to the South, you feel good about.
Yeah,
you know, there are certain guys on the West, Maverick McNealy, and you can just, and this is what sucks about Live, you start taking some of my guys that I like gambling on in certain areas, it pisses me off.
Yeah. So if you listen to the podcast, are you more of a Team DB guy or Team Pat guy? You can be honest.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I would say that Pat goes down some rabbit holes that I disagree with some of his picks. But then every once in a while, you know, he'll say something and you'll crush him, and then that guy will perform well. And that's the thing with golf. You know, it's just, it's if you told me, like, to see in golf, if you like Patrick Mahomes kind of overrated, everyone would be like, this guy's an idiot. But you can say things in golf, be like, you know, Finau, like, I'm not doing it. And you're like, what are you talking about? Look at this guy. He's like top 10 in all these tournaments. And you can just hate a guy who's really good, and you can get a lot of people like, yeah, I wouldn't bet on him either.
Yeah, you know? That's why I love, like, I love.
That's what's cool about golf. There's just, you can have opinions on really good players, and you can get people to agree and disagree with you. Where it's like, if you said, like, Nick and Joey Bosa suck, you'd be like, what are you talking about? Right?
There's just so much variance in it, right? That's ultimately what we're talking about. There's, even for the best players in the world, except for the Tiger era, the real peak era, you know, favorites lose golf tournaments way more than they win golf tournaments, except for when Tiger was crushing everybody for so long, right? So I love that, you know, every week for me, just the way I like to bet and the way that, you know, what I like to sweat, I know every week that, like, basically, if you're shorter than 20 to 1, I'm not touching you because it's golf. It's hashtag four-letter word golf. And the chances are, you know, one of these guys beyond you longer than 20 to 1, you know, one of the, if I got a handful of those, or I can only bet one or two of you guys at 10 to 1 or 15 to 1, I'd rather have the, you know, the alternative.
Well, like John Rahm, to me, his odds got so out of whack for a while. Like, he's like 7-8 to 1. It's like, guys, he's won like one time in a year.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't winning. Where I would say the one guy that, like, if I was going to go big on a favorite going into the Open, just because this guy's had an incredible season, he ran out of gas at the Travelers. But I would say Rory, you'd feel like you got a pretty good chance on a guy that's just had a hot season. He's been close. If he were to win, of all the guys that are going to have out, because I bet his odds for the Open, what do you think they're going to end up around? 9 to 1, 10 to 1?
Yeah.
Right. They're going to be high.
They're going to be, yeah, they're going to be pretty short. Let's, you want to look at some odds real quick for the Open?
Yeah. I kind of want, that's another thing I was thinking. I wanted to, one guy that I placed, I've hit a couple top 10 bets this year. So I've had some ammo in the accounts, and I've placed a couple futures, and I did it on Zalatoris after the Masters, maybe it was the PGA Championship to win the US Open. And I also did it, I think, after the PGA Championship on JT to win the Open. I placed a pretty, like, couple, 2.5 units on him. I think at like 16.5, 17 to 1. Just because a guy that has all the shots now has bones to kind of keep him under control. And he can be a little hit or miss, right, when he's off at majors. It can be, but I think of all the top guys beside probably Rory, I like JT a lot. Just a guy to feel like I feel pretty good about taking as a favorite. Cause like you said, I mean, a guy 38 to 1 could easily win the Open, especially if that thing could get weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, and the majors are a little different. Like I talked about that. I mean, it's hard to completely fade the top, you know, the top 10% of guys in a major championship because typically those guys are the ones bringing it home. But it sounds like you had a good number on JT because I'm seeing 14 to 1 right now on your fan.
Well, it's gone up because he's been,
I mean, the thing I was going to tell you, so we just played, literally 2 Wednesdays ago, we were in Scotland on this golf trip. We played.
How much it cost to play the Old Course?
It was like, I think in US dollars, it came out to like 300.
That's an incredible deal.
And then you have to tip the caddy. You tip the caddy $80 to $100. But I was going to say, it really changed my viewpoint somewhat, or maybe it really solidified some of what I thought to be true about the Open. And my caddy was a very experienced caddy, been there for forever. We're going to try to get him on the Tour Junkie show to help us out with the Open Championship. But I think the Open at the Old Course begs for a guy with experience there. And or, because there's a name here that I still really like that's at shorter odds, or a caddy with tremendous experience at the Old Course, or with some experience at the Old Course, because these sight lines at this place are so tough. Like, knowing where to hit the ball, even with all the infrastructure built up with the scoreboard. You know, my guy's telling me, all right, see the TV tower, hit it there. See the leaderboard, hit it there. Like, that made it a little easier.
Is it because everything's so flat and you can't really tell?
And you can't tell where am I landing this? And some of the tee shots, you can't see all the bunkers that are out there. And let me just tell you, like, I complained about being in bunkers here in the U.S. when I played golf. I will never complain again in my entire life. Every bunker I went in Scotland, not one ball rolls to the bottom of the bunker and to the flat spot. They're either, if you just roll in, they're on the downslope, or if you hit it too far, you know, they stop on the upslope.
What was the deepest bunker you were in?
I didn't get in many. Now, Pat went in just about every bunker you could be in. Pat went in the one, we played Carnoustie too, and Pat went in the one on Carnoustie, is it like number 16? What do they call it? Hell's Bunker or something like that? He was in that one and did not get it out and led to like 3 shots. But they're all like that. So I think a guy with some experience at the Old Course, a guy that's got a caddy with some experience at the Old Course, a hell of a short game. It's a hell of a short game needed. Like, and it's creativity, it's imagination. That's all required. And a guy with a temperament that can handle when you just get a shitty bounce. You hit a great shot and you just get a shitty bounce, because that happened all the time. I learned quickly, when you're in Scotland, you keep your mouth off that golf shot until that ball has stopped. You don't say good shot to your buddy. You don't say like, You don't say, man, that's perfect. You don't take your eye off of it. There's no hit it and then a quick T pickup because you know it's good. No, you watch that thing till it stops because
how hard is the ground?
So firm. And my caddy was like, dude, when you guys leave, when they shut it down, all they're doing is browning this place out. Like the whole plan is to bake this thing and brown it out. And I can't imagine it being, it was any golf course that I played in Scotland that week was firmer than any golf course I've ever played in my life here in the US. And they're going to make it firmer. So you're going to have weird bounces. You're going to have bad bounces.
Do you even take a divot when you like hit like a, you know, five iron?
You take a, not a five iron.
Like an eight iron.
I didn't see a pitch mark in the whole trip. Not one pitch mark the whole trip. Didn't matter what you hit into it. It's just firm. So I think guys like Scottie Scheffler and guys like Cam Smith, guys with good, you know, good short game, creativity, even keeled, even tempered, aren't going to lose it on a bad break. I think Ted Scott's been a weapon for Scottie Scheffler. Ted Scott on the bag has been a weapon. So I think he's another one to look out for if you're talking some of those shorter odds up there.
Shane Lowry?
Lowry, yeah. I mean, he's been playing really good. I think he disappointed a lot of people at the U.S. Open, right? But he fits the profile for sure. And, you know, we're not even talking about the wind. I mean, the wind is definitely a factor. So the guys that hit it out of the center of the club face every time and control their distance is key, but it's also...
So what about the shorter hitters like the Harmons and the Kisners? Kisner kind of got it going a little bit, I think, last week, you know?
Those guys can compete because the ball's going to roll so far. Like, it's gonna roll so much. I mean, I was hitting like 380-yard drives on some of these holes we played. If you hit it right on the little, you know...
It just goes.
Down slope, right on the perfect little spot on the fairway, it just never stops.
So these big hitters are going to be able to hit four irons 300 yards.
Yep.
The low potential runners.
Yep. And we'll see what kind of conditions we get. I mean, hopefully it's windy, but I know that it will be firm. That was their whole goal. They shut down a month ahead of time. They're shut down now. Their goal is to make that place brown and fast and firm. It'll be
so. If the wind gets going, it could be diabolical.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
And if it doesn't, they could dominate.
It is going to be It's going to be highly variable if the wind gets. It's just going to. You know, we know this about the Open, right? The wave advantages. The wave. You know, there's.
Well, the one Morikawa one, it wasn't that windy. And
that one,
like,
wasn't
hearing
that
the way you talk about it, like, do you like a Morikawa at a course like this? Doesn't feel quite
the
like
short
his style.
Game scares me a little bit, but the ball striking obviously carries wherever he goes. Like, the ball striking is great wherever, but the short game is still a little, you know, like the kids say, sus. I don't know if they still say that, but, you know, it's a little sus. So, like, him and like a Victor Hovland to me scares me a little bit, even with the great ball striking, just because you have to be so good around those greens and out of those bunkers and all the undulation that we've already talked about. I'm telling you, it's so much.
Well, I know Jordan has missed a million short putts, but it sounds like, I mean, his ball striking and his short game, you know, in terms of his wedges.
Yeah, if his putter, dude, I don't know what's going on with that putter, but we'll see if he plays. I don't know if he's playing the Scottish this week or not. I'd be interested to see if he's playing the Scottish and if he gets the putter working a little bit better.
Yeah, it feels like they're going to be, especially for DFS, and then a lot of people on Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler, those are going to be popular players.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Cam Smith might, you know, he disappointed at the U.S. Open. I don't know. People maybe
he's a little off.
Maybe wearing thin on Cam Smith. Yeah.
Eldrick, is it an easy walk?
Yeah, I think he could. Yes, it's not a hard walk. I mean, unless
he's going to know that place like the back of his hand is his favorite course.
100%, and that's something else. Like, he's not going to have to rip. You know, I mean, at Augusta, like, you have to rip driver sometimes. You know.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, especially now.
Yeah, you have to contend. If you want to contend, you have to do that. He's not going to have to do that, I don't think, at the Open. He can hit those little stingers. He can hit a smooth driver, three wood here and there. And it's all about the knowledge, the course knowledge, the creativity, the shot making, and the short game. Like, I think
you noticed at Southern Hills, and I know he was struggling, but like.
What are his odds right now?
His first Thursday, Tiger was hitting all these irons. Like, Tiger, this isn't 08. And I'm not trying to call him out. Like, he's the greatest golf strategist ever. And then by Friday, when he just grinded out to make the cut, he was pulling driver, and he even kind of admitted, like, you know, strategy. Well, Tiger, you don't spray the ball with the technology like you would have in 06.
Yeah.
The heads, it's way different. You can just play this fade 310 down the pipe.
Yeah.
You have to hit driver. So moving forward, I wonder if Tiger, you can't really play the little plotted around. Like, that's not how these guys are playing anymore. This bombs away.
Yeah. And I think that's probably one reason why he avoided, you know, the PGA,
the US,
the US Open. Like, he, you know, and he's had the Open Championship circled, obviously, because it's 150th and it's back at St. Andrews. That means a lot to him for sure. But I also think it's because it's the only other major, probably the major, that he had the best chance to really contend. He's 41-1 on FanDuel right now.
What about, and I know he's had a kind of a weird season and he's in Live, but like Koepka?
I mean,
you like any of the Liv guys at this place? I don't even know if DJ even pays attention anymore.
I think I actually think DJ would be the one I'd be most. Well, Reed. I mean, P. Reed is interesting to me. Yep, P. Reed is interesting.
Not a Bryson place.
Probably not a Bryson place. Now Reed is probably the guy. I mean, I think you know.
What about all the Euros? Will they be comfortable there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Westwoods, Poulters.
I think it's a place these older guys like Westwood and those guys could contend. I don't think I'd bet them, but I think they could be in the conversation come the weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's actually been a pretty incredible major year.
Really has.
All the majors have been fantastic. Great, I guess the Masters, you know, it got interesting, you know, on Sunday, but Tiger added such an element. It was so cool. But yep. The last two majors have just been knockdown, drag out, high level, intense courses. And that's, I think sometimes these guys are so good now. Like it's enjoyable to watch, I'd say even to, you know, -5 range, because you just, it's hard for them to birdie. You know, I've seen these guys driver 5-iron on 600 yard, you know, par 5. I like to see these guys struggle. Yep. It's enjoyable.
I do too. I mean, I think, I wish we had more of the, you know, these difficult courses, difficult setups on the PGA Tour. I don't think we need a lot of them, but I wish we had a few more sprinkled in. You know, the AT&T Byron Nelson 26 unders kind of get a little old after a little while. But
What was the one, Scotty? Was it the Arnold Palmer? Scotty won the Arnold Palmer? That was playing hard. Him versus when Billy Horschel.
API can play tough.
Yeah, that place looked like a beast.
Terrible golf course, though. I played it last fall. Very forgettable golf course. If you didn't have all the Arnie stuff, very forgettable.
I had a tour player tell me that, like, it was in, like, Tiger's kind of era. He's like, you know, Tiger hated that course.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, he won it all the time. They're like, well, yeah, he was obligated to play it because Arnold, so he's like, I might as well win it. He despised that place.
I think that's something very unique to Tiger, because I don't know that there's many guys on the PGA Tour that can hate a golf course like that and then just decide to win it.
One thing someone brought up to me, which is not going to work in the tour's favor, I'll get you out of here on this, is that Arnold Palmer, and you see the memorial. I mean, Jack, let's face it. I mean, every year he looks dramatically older. The Byron Nelson for a while. All these guys used to go to those three tournaments out of paying respect.
Yeah.
Right. To those guys. It'd be like if John Elway, Joe Montana, and Dan Marino had, like, but Arnold Palmer's not there anymore. And look at the field. Byron Nelson, like, he's long gone. Look at the field. Once Jack goes, like, are all these guys going to play the memorial? I think they do for a year or two after they pass, but then it dilutes immediately. So those three tournaments were huge. I mean, think Tiger, I mean, obviously was huge on those three places. But he kind of represents like where star players would go. And if that starts happening, this is again where Greg Norman, he's like the shark circling the boat right now.
I mean, the younger they get, the less and less they care, the less memories they have about Byron Nelson or Arnie or Jack. I mean, that's just
Think about Pebble Beach. I mean, no one shows up beside Jordan because that's a sponsor. They all go international.
Yeah, it's a terrible event now. I mean, Tiger is the key here. We didn't really talk a lot about him as it pertains to Liv, but obviously the silver bullet in a lot of this could be if Tiger would step out and advocate for the PGA Tour and come out and just basically rip Liv a new one. That could be the silver bullet that stops all of this thing. But I think anything short of that, and we're all kind of probably looking at a fragmented golf world for at least the immediate future, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
His presser is going to be must watch the Open because he hasn't talked about it since whatever the PGA, and not as much had happened, right?
Yeah.
Now they've had several events. All these guys have defected. They're all going to be there. Tiger was, I think it was at the PGA, kind of ripped Phil. And I mean, it'd be, you know, what's Tiger have to lose now? He doesn't care. No. He's kind of loosened up. Honestly, Tiger could just let it rip.
That's what I'm saying.
And I would imagine Jay wants him to let it rip 100%. There. He's going to get the questions.
100%. Jay's sending him, you know, edible arrangements every week, asking him to go ahead and rip Norman a new one. Hey, man, John Middlecoff, this is a lot of fun. Love talking to you. Everybody needs to check out the 3 and Out podcast and all that John's doing over there on Colin Cowherd's network. I'm a big Colin Cowherd fan. I used to listen to him back in the day, a long time ago. So,
Colin's the man. We gotta get him more on the golf course. But I think he's in Turks and Caicos right now, living the life. So,
must be nice.
Yeah. So,
thanks for coming on. Well, love to have you back on. And Let's do some.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Keep rocking and rolling, and love what you guys do, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.